there is a line in that song that catches me every time, is when we sing about Jesus. When we sing about Jesus and we sing, and as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. Sin's curse losing a grip. I believe that's what happens when we sit under Jesus' teaching. I believe that's what's been happening as we've been sitting under the teacher, walking through the Sermon on the Mount, walking through the Beatitudes. That as we sit under the teaching of Jesus, sin loses its curse. It loses its grip. The curse of sin, simply put, is everything that goes wrong when we say no to God and his leadership in our life. That when we reject God and his leadership in our life, things break, things disintegrate, things decay. Sin's curse are the broken relationships that we find ourselves in and we feel their grip. Sin's curse, it's this misplaced anger, resentment, unforgiveness that often feels like a straitjacket. Sin's curse is the addictions and the habits that we find ourselves chained to, and they grip us. Sin's curse is a world that's filled with persecution and oppression, and it chokes. But as we sit under Jesus, as we sit under his teaching, as we say yes to his gospel invitation, as we invite the kingdom of heaven to invade, to permeate, to transform us, the grip is lost. Something begins to shift. Something begins to change. I want to invite you this morning to sit under the teaching of Jesus. I want to invite you once again to sit under his teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. I want to invite you to give your yes to his gospel invitation. And as we do, Lord Jesus, may you loosen the grip. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." This morning we consider the third of the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And when I first hear these words, I think to myself, Jesus, I think you've got something wrong. Are you with me in that? The meek? The meek inherit the earth? The meek get control of the world? No, Jesus, you must have something wrong. Because in the world that we live in, it's not the meek, it's the pushy. It's the grabbers, it's the takers. They're the one who get everything in this world. It's the domineering, the aggressive, the demanding. They're the ones who take hold of things and control things. I mean, the meek, Jesus? I mean, aren't the meek the weak, the spineless, the ineffective people who sit in the corner collecting dust? They have no voice. They're ineffective. The meek, aren't they the proverbial doormat that people walk all over? Jesus, you've got something wrong. This doesn't fit our reality, does it? I mean, you think about where you work. Is it the meek that get ahead? Is it the meek who rise to the top? And what about in your schools, in the high schools? Is it the meek? Do they inherit the earth? Do they have control of the world? No, the only thing the meek get in high school is a wedgie. They still do that in high school? I still have a mark, no. Jesus, I think you've got something wrong here. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. For the original hearers that day, they would have been shocked as well. You see, they had come to the mountainside that day to hear from Jesus because he was pointing to himself, saying that he was the Messiah, the long-awaited anointed one who would come and defeat Israel's enemies and set them on top again. That he would defeat Israel's enemies and set them on top of the world, in essence, that they would inherit the earth. And he says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Jesus, you must have something wrong. You need to come as a military leader. You need to come with great power in order to inherit the earth, in order to defeat God's enemies. How are the meek blessed? And how on earth do they inherit the earth? That's what we're after this morning. And I guess the first step in trying to understand what Jesus means here when he says, blessed are the meek, is we need to understand this word meek. It's a tough word to wrap our minds around. And the first thing I want to say about this word meek this morning is meek does not mean weak. It doesn't mean spineless. It doesn't mean no backbone. It's not the proverbial doormat to be walked over. And that'll become clear as the morning goes on. But this word meek is hard to pin down, really hard to pin down. I've given a sampling of some definitions that people whom I respect have given to this word meek. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he defines meek as a true view of oneself, expressing itself in attitude and conduct to others. It talks about how we see ourselves and then, in turn, how we treat others, that meekness is captured in that. Daryl Johnson, a name that you're probably becoming familiar with because I believe he has done some of the best work on the Sermon on the Mount, and I've learned much from him. He has defined meekness as winsome humility born out of trusting the mystery. Well, there's a lot in there, but we're left scratching our head a bit. William Barclay has described the meek person or the meek man in this sense as the man who is always angry at the right time and never angry at the wrong time. Whoa, there's something there. But there's a lot in here. What does it mean to be meek? What does it look like? I've had a real hard time preparing the sermon this week because I've had a hard time wrapping my mind around what does Jesus mean when he says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Well, the line that Jesus uses here when he says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth, it's almost identical to a line we see in Psalm 37. And most commentators, most scholars think that Jesus is making reference to Psalm 37 because in Psalm 37, we see a caricature, we see a picture of a meek person. Psalm 37, verse 11. The psalmist writes, the meek will inherit the land. In fact, five times in this psalm, in Psalm 37, the psalmist talks about someone inheriting the land. And as we unpack this psalm, what we end up getting is we get a picture of this meek person, this meek community that inherits the land. Could it be that this is what Jesus is pointing to? That in this psalm we get a better picture of what it looks like to be meek? I think so. And so I invite you to turn there with me to Psalm 37. As we try and wrap our minds around who are the weak, what do they look like? Now the context of this psalm is important. King David wrote this psalm. And he wrote it to describe something that we all know, something that we all know is true. That in this psalm, we see that David is wrestling in his heart with the simple fact that the dishonest so often have more than the honest. Isn't that true? That the dishonest have more than the honest? He's wrestling with this reality that those who step on others find their way to the top. He's wrestling with this fact that the unfaithful seem to win and the faithful seem to lose. Nice guys finish last. I dated a girl in university and she dumped me because I was too nice. Well, how's that? Don't feel sorry for me, though. I landed a trophy wife, so it's all good. But David's writing about this nice guys finish last. The faithful, they finish last. Those who do good, they finish last. And he wrestles with this in his psalm. But in his psalm, one person emerges victorious, and it's the meek. And in it, I believe we get a picture of who are the meek. In verse 1, the psalmist says, "Do not fret because of those who are evil." And again in verse 7, he says it, "Do not fret when people succeed in their ways." The meek do not fret when people get ahead through evil means. The meek, they do not fret. Their blood doesn't boil when things don't go their way. They don't get all worked up in the face of opposition. The meek, they're not controlled by their anger. Rather, they own their emotion and they roll it onto God and they trust in Him. The meek do not fret. They do not stew. They do not boil in the face of opposition. Verse 3. "Trust in the Lord and do good," David writes. The meek, they don't trust in their own schemes for success and satisfaction, but rather they trust in God's ways. They trust in God and they do good. And so often in our world, God's ways stand in opposition to the ways that promise success and satisfaction in our world, don't they? But the meek, they don't trust in their own schemes for these things, but they trust in God. Verse 4. This is the most known verse in Psalm 37. "Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." The meek aren't fixated on their own entitlement, but rather they're fixated on the Lord. He is their delight. That the joy of the meek doesn't come from getting what they think they deserve, but in getting the Lord. The one who made them and the one for whom they are made. The meek aren't fixated on their own rights in the face of opposition. They're fixated on the Lord. And when they get Him, He is their joy. Verses 5 and 6. "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun." The meek, they commit themselves to God's way even when it seems futile. When the ways of this world promise success and they promise satisfaction, the meek, they entrust themselves to God's way even when it seems like it's not working. Even when it seems like things aren't going to work out, they do it because they know that in the end, God will be proven right. That in the end, God will be proven right. That God's ways will be the only ways that are shown to lead to satisfaction, to success, to salvation. And those who are meek, they trust in God even when it seems futile because they know in the end He will be proven right and they along with Him. Verse 7. "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him." The meek trust that God will make good on all of His promises. But here's the thing. They trust that He will make good on His promises in His timing. And so the meek have an ability to be patient and to wait, to trust, because they know God will do what he says he's going to do, but he's just going to do it in his way and in his timing. The meek, verse 8, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil. The meek are not overcome by their anger. It's like William Barclay said, the meek, they are angry at all the right times and never angry at the wrong times. That they're angry at the right times, like when somebody who is voiceless and powerless is being oppressed. The meek are angry. But the meek are never angry at the wrong time, like when somebody points out sin in my own life. When someone sees me for who I really am, broken, sinful, we're not angry then, but we're angry then. The meek, they're not overcome by their anger. Rather, they own their emotion. They roll it onto God, and they trust in him. The meek do not fret. They trust in God. They do good. They delight in the Lord. They commit their ways to the Lord. They rest in the Lord. They wait patiently on him, and they are not overcome by their anger. And then verse 10 and 11 come. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the earth. The meek emerge victorious. Who are the meek? Well, I've made a list based on this text and some observations of what the meek do and the meek do not do. And I offer this to you as for your own reflection. A reflection of your own life, or even as you go about this week, as you think, how can I be meek, Lord? Here's some things the meek don't do. The meek don't need to be heard. They don't need to be right. The meek don't need to prove themselves or assert themselves. The meek don't engage in power struggles. They don't throw their weight around. They don't fret over failure, whether it's their own failure or the failure of others. The meek don't act entitled. The meek don't demand. The meek know how to listen, and they're teachable. They do good in the face of evil and opposition. Here's a tough one. The meek willfully surrender themselves to God and to others. The meek know their future with God, which fuels their disposition. The meek, they trust in God, in his timing, that he will one day prove them right. The meek, they defend God's truth in ways that bear witness to God's truth. This is what the meek look like. And so Jesus says, blessed are the meek. Right on, right side up. You're living the kingdom life when you're meek. Blessed are the meek. I remember the first time I was called out in my own leadership as a pastor. I was about a year into my ministry, and I had made the decision to break a small group in half because I wanted to make room for new people who wanted to be part of this small group. And in making this decision, I thought very little of how it would affect the people who were in that small group at the time. And so shortly after breaking this small group up and adding some new members, I received the email. Maybe you've received one like this yourself. That as I read this email, it was filled with accusation, and it called me out on so many things in my own leadership. And I wonder, have you ever experienced something like this where you've faced opposition? I mean, our response is quite similar, I'm assuming, that when we've been called out in various times and places in our life, that our heart rate starts to go, our blood pressure rises, we feel the heat underneath our collar, and anger begins to arise. Do you know what I'm talking about here? There have been a number of times where I've been called out, whether it be in my leadership or in various other places. There have been times when my wife Gina has had to call me out on things in my character. There have been times when my kids have called me out on things in my character. That's the worst one. There are times when the guy in traffic who I just cut off, he calls me out. He's got a finger. He's waving a finger in the air or something. There are times when we've been challenged in our life, in our work, in our jobs, in our families. And as I reflect on these times in my life, I see that there are two impulses that always arise in me. The first impulse I call the self impulse. And as I read that email that day, I felt the self impulse arise in me. And this is about what it sounded like. How dare you? How dare you send me this email? You've gone about this the wrong way. If anyone has a right to be angry here, it's me in the way you're handling this situation. Don't you know who I am? I'm making the decisions around here. And then there's this other impulse. I call it the spirit impulse, the Holy Spirit impulse. It's much quieter. It sounds like a whisper. And so we need to tune our ear to hear it. And in that moment, the spirit impulse whispers and says something like this: Keith, I love you deeply. Stay firm in your God-honoring convictions. But Keith, be open to rebuke, because you're not perfect. You're still broken. There's still sin in your life. You see, one of these voices, one of these impulses, it draws us into the meekness that Jesus describes here. The spirit impulse affirms that I am deeply loved. This is the foundation. There is no walking into the meekness of God without knowing that we are deeply loved, because this is always the foundation on which we stand. But the spirit impulse also says that there are sometimes some God-given and God-honoring convictions that we can hold to because they're right and good. But we need to understand that others are allowed to see us for who we really are, that we make mistakes, that we are broken, that we are sinful. Sometimes we act wrongly, and there's room to stand in that. The self-impulse, the spirit impulse, one of the whispers, one of the voices, draws us into the meekness that we have been made for. May we hear that voice. Now, I hope it's clear that being meek does not equal weak, spineless, doormat. Not at all. In fact, it takes a great strong person to live this kind of life, doesn't it? It takes a much greater strength to live as God's meek people in this world. It's the weak who are overcome by their anger. It's the weak who have to insist, who have to grab, who have to take. Right on. You're doing it when you're meek. Blessed are the meek. Jesus is our prime example, is he not? That Jesus is our prime example because Jesus was no pushover. He had great strength, but we also know that Jesus was perfect in meekness. And we see Jesus' meekness in the way that he responds to people. We see Jesus' meekness in the way that he responds to the persecution that he walked headlong into. We see his meekness in the way he responded to insult and mockery, the way he responds to scorn and shame. Peter writes about it. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found on his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. See, if anyone had cause to retaliate, it's Jesus. He was without sin. But he stood in the face of opposition, in the face of insults, as people spat on him and cursed him and nailed him to a cross. because he entrusted himself to God, that in the end, he would be proven right. This is a picture of meekness. So the big question that comes up for me is, can we actually live this way? Can we actually be meek? Well, the answer is no, and the answer is yes. Because the qualities that Jesus blesses in the Beatitudes, as I've said before and I will say over and over again, these are not natural human qualities. The qualities that Jesus blesses here are qualities that erupt in us when we invite the put-together life of heaven to invade our current broken one. That these qualities are the gospel that flourishes in our midst when we say yes to Jesus in his gospel invitation. So no, we can't live this way. But when Jesus invades, when he permeates our lives, when he transforms us, meekness erupts. And God says, right on. That's the way. Blessed are the meek. So as I draw things to a close, allow me to just reflect on a few last questions. When do we inherit the earth? And what does that mean? Well, in many respects, what Jesus is doing here is he's pointing to a future that we are all destined for. Those who say yes to Jesus, we get a picture of them in Revelation chapter 21. And here we see this great picture of heaven and earth being restored. And the restored heaven and earth are then entrusted to the restored people of God. That the restored people of God inherit the earth. They fill it. They rule it. They fill it with God's glory. But I believe that this beatitude here, the blessing that God is entrusting to his people is not just for the future. I believe it's for today. And I believe it's for today because it was in the past. When we read Genesis chapters 1 and 2, the chapters that speak about our beginnings, we see that the people of God inherit the earth. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we see that humanity, men and women, are made in the image of God. And part of being made in the image of God is that we are to rule the earth and to fill it with the knowledge of the glory of God. That's what it means to be an image bearer. That the image bearers in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 are entrusted with the earth. And they're entrusted with the earth to rule it and fill it in such a way that the whole of God's creation is filled with a knowledge of who he is and what he's like. And so when Jesus says here, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth, is he not calling us into the very calling that was marked on us from the very beginning to be image bearers? Blessed are the meek, for they, and only they, are fit to rule. Blessed are the meek, for they, and only they, are fit to lead. Blessed are the meek, for they, and only they, are fit to inherit the earth. Because they, and only they, are the ones who are able to fill it with the knowledge of the glory of God. You see, the pushers, the pushy, the grabbers, the takers, the dominant, the domineering, the demanding, the aggressive, they can't inherit the earth because they have no idea what to do with it. People who take, they never have enough. Blessed are the meek, for they and only they are fit to rule the earth, because they and only they can fill it with the knowledge of the glory of God. And it's to this end that we move. That as we sit under the teaching of Jesus, as we give our yes to him, as we invite him to invade, permeate, transform our lives, something grows. The grip is lost. May it be so in our midst, Jesus. I want to draw our time to a close by doing something we don't normally do in our flavor of church. I want to pray something together. And so I'm going to invite the worship team to come up and take their place. And I invite you to stand, because we're going to pray this prayer together. It's in your bulletin, but it's also on the screen behind us. I believe that as we sit under Jesus' teaching, as we encounter the teacher, as we give our yes to him in this place, something happens. And I see this prayer as a prayer of us giving our yes to Jesus, of inviting him to invade, to transform, and to permeate us so that we might be the meek, so that we might inherit the earth and fill it with the knowledge of the glory of God. And so let's pray together this prayer. And as we do, may the grip be loosened. Please pray with me. From the desire of being praised, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being honored, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being preferred, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being consulted, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being approved, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of comfort and ease, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being humiliated, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being criticized, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being passed over, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being forgotten, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being lonely, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being hurt, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of suffering, deliver me, Jesus. O Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like yours.